Before we get to this week in Survivor with special guest Kellen Bechtold, we want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are friends over at Bet Online. With currently no NBA, no NHL, no MLB, you might think that there's nothing to bet on. Well, you would be wrong. Our exclusive partner, Bet Online, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on, from their online casino to poker and blackjack, because they are bringing the Vegas to you. If you're missing the NFL, no problem. Bet Online has live daily Madden NFL 20 simulations that you can wager on. And if you're into entertainment betting, you could still bet on stock prices or even the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. It's all open 24 hours a day and all online. Visit the website or use your mobile device and join today to receive your new welcome bonus. Bet Online, your online wagering solution. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner, Podcast One, Bet Online, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code Podcast One for your sign up bonus. Visit betonline.ag. Don't forget that promo code Podcast One for your sign up bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
Let's talk about tweets and take a quiz so we can find out who the smartest one is. What happened this week in Survivor?
A whole heck of a lot happened this week on Survivor, and we are ready to talk about it with a man who I'm sure is over the moon, still excited. I don't know if he's slept yet, much like his hero, Mr. Tony Vlachos. Here is the great Jordan Kalish.
Rob, I've been awake having conversations with the moon every single night. I'm so excited to be living in a world right now that is a very strange world, but it's one in which Tony Vlachos is the two-time winner of Survivor. And I can't believe that I'm able to say these words, and it is not a dream. And if it were a dream, it would not be a nightmare.
Yeah, it's a wild world that we live in for many, many reasons. At least that's one good one, that Tony has won Survivor for the second time. But I am over the moon excited because we have an incredible guest here with us. I can't believe that Jordan Kalish has had such a great booking to close out the season. Here is the great, somehow that she has appeared on Twitch multiple times from Survivor Ghost Island, the great Kellen Bechtold. Kellen, how are you?
Hey, oh, Robbio.
Yes.
I know, Robbio.
Kellen, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited to be here. Is it not common for people to be Twitch repeats?
Yeah,
not usually when
people,
they've been on Survivor. Yeah.
It's like food poisoning. It's like once you eat it something once, it's like, oh, I'm never eating that again.
Well, I think I may have been busy the last time I got asked, but was really excited to have a fully free schedule and to get to talk a little bit of Survivor because I was behind the season, didn't have VPN and all that stuff. So I am excited to be in the Survivor universe again.
Good, good. Very excited to talk to you. You have so much interesting stuff going on. I know we gotta. I think we should get into talking about Survivor up front, but I do want to like reserve some time to get the major life update of what's been going on in your end. But could you give us like the short 60-second version of what you've been up to?
Yeah, we can save the drama for later.
Yeah.
what the short version is, in December, I quit my job. I was ready to go on another adventure and went to go travel the world for 2020. That was my plan. So I was in Thailand at a yoga retreat for 3 weeks, went to Bali for about a month. And then, you know, coronavirus happened. So I actually came to Spain. At the time, there weren't cases in Europe. And then sort of just ended up stuck here, more or less. So I've been living in Spain since I moved, quote unquote. I've lived here since February 23rd. So yeah, I've been in Spain waiting out the coronavirus.
Now, are you in Spain at this point by choice or is it because you can't get back?
So it's by choice at this point. Crazy enough, at first it was because I like woke up saw the news. Trump had announced incorrectly that the borders were closing.
Yeah.
So I looked up flights. Yeah. I looked up flights and they were like $3,000 to get home by Friday night. And I was like, I don't really feel like blowing that much money just to like go back to the US. I'll just wait it out here. And, but by the time like the news came out that he was incorrect, I had already paid money for an apartment. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't get my money back. So it was like, okay, well, I paid for it. So I ended up just staying here and now I'm here by choice. Things are kind of crazy in the old USA. I'm hoping some borders open up in other countries so I can continue on my travels, but we'll see what happens. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? Okay. And do you speak Spanish?
Poquito.
A little bit of Espanol.
I was living alone for the majority of the time, so I haven't really been able to practice with anybody. So I did come to Spain to work on my Spanish, but that hasn't really been fruitful.
Yeah. Okay. All right. This is the same woman who once upon a time didn't want to play a challenge on Ghost Island. Could be too much risk. Look at you now, Kellen. You are living.
I am living. Yeah.
You are out there.
I mean, in here, out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Under full quarantine here. But yeah, I'm doing it. Doing it. So mm-hmm. Life is good.
Okay. And I know that there are many more twists and turns to your story, and I do want to explore that. But let's we have this monumental happening in the world of Survivor, where Tony Vlachos has become the second two-time winner and the king of Survivor. Kellen, could we get your reaction at this hour?
I mean, to think about it that way, of just like in the beginning, I don't know what the Vegas odds would have been on Tony winning, but they would have had to be grandiose. So just like that.
And you're a gambler.
Am I a gambler?
You love to gamble.
I do love to gamble. Yes, I do love to gamble, but I didn't look at the preseason odds. Mm-hmm. Kalish, do you got that? You know what they were?
I mean, I don't know the exact Vegas odds, but I do know that I listened to a podcast where they thought that drafting someone who wasn't even on the cast was potentially a better bet than Tony winning. I am in a auction draft league, and I got Tony Vlachos for $1, and that $1 turned into $100, which is very nice. So I'm very happy about how things have gone.
Ooh, the price of milk has gone up, and you can afford it. How about that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that used to just be an expression too. So yeah, Tony has done it. Kellen, do you have any particular affinity for the original article of Tony?
Oh God, do you have? I hope there's not a recording of me saying something about Tony.
No, I don't have anything. I'm just that the earliest recordings we have about you, I think, are from Survivor Second Chance. So I don't know necessarily what your feelings are about Tony.
I mean, I loved watching him play the first time. I think I loved his first win, just because it was so erratic. And then watching him kind of like continually like try to fight himself this season was really nice to watch him be aware of how he comes across and make some changes to his game at least. The season overall was like, I don't know if it was because I binge watched and like all the way through the episode after the merge that I feel bad. I don't know what the feeling is out there, but I felt it was like a B season. Like mm-hmm. It wasn't like my favorite season ever. So yeah, I felt good. It was nice to see Natalie come back, but I am like a never edger.
Yeah, never edger. Say, right? That's right.
I'm a never edger. So I am really not, Natalie was amazing, but
yeah,
that just is not Survivor to me. So yeah, I was happy with a Tony win.
Can you talk us through the B grade? What were the demerits for?
Yeah, I am just like such an alliance person.
Alliance person.
An alliance person. Like, I like to see people build alliances and have those like voting blocks move around. And I felt like it was such an individual game the entire time. Like, I just didn't see like the arc of the relationship building, I felt like was missing. So I guess, and we already knew who everyone was. And of course there were great one-liners, and everyone on the season is an amazing storyteller. So it was really interesting to watch and like visually and audibly pleasing, but the actual Survivor play I felt was, I don't know, too individualistic. Yeah.
Is that a personal preference thing for you, or did you feel like that the overall story was hard to follow?
I think it was just personal preference, but I don't know what's everyone else saying.
I don't have a problem with the individual style of game, but I would say that I think that at times the story got kind of hard to follow. I do think that by the end, I think that it ended up being like a, you know, really compelling story with everything with Tony and Sarah. But I did feel like that there was like a very soft middle in the season, like from like a little bit after the merge until around the time where, you know, Jeremy started to be, you know, like the repeated target and Tony started to emerge. Like, I feel like that point in the game, I think, was very hard to like really understand where people were.
Yeah. Yeah. Other than you could kind of start to see that, I mean, and Tony's winner's edit, I thought was blatantly, it seemed clear that there was no shot for anyone else to win, like probably starting, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I don't know. So it was just,
well, that's pretty good for Survivor. Sometimes they do it. They started on the first episode.
I thought it was almost even too good at times, where is this going to be like Rick Devons again, where they're showing one person so much and then something happens where he doesn't win. So I think even though he did have one of the, or maybe the most pronounced edit in the history of Survivor, there were times when I thought, you know, this might be, and I'm a Tony fan, so I was thinking, is this too good to be true? And it turned out it wasn't, and he was able to pull it out. As far as the where the story started to really come together, I think it was the Sophie boot. I think before that, there were a lot of votes where I wasn't really sure exactly what had gone on, especially that Tyson Tribal Council where Jeremy used the safety without power. But it really started to become like the Tony show, and you know, whatever Tony really wanted to happen happened until a couple moments in the finale. So I think that's really where the story came together. And we'd started to see that alliance between Tony, Sarah, and Ben that formed after the Sophie vote, which really controlled a lot of the action after that.
Kellen, now Jordan is one of the world's top Tony super fans, has been since day one. Do you have any questions that you want to ask of Jordan about his, I was gonna say, is it unrequited love? I guess so, because I don't know if Tony has ever returned the love for Jordan Kalish. So
he's responded to my tweets a couple times. I would say it's unrequited. I think there's a quantum entanglement though.
Yes. Okay. Kellen, do you have any questions that you would like to ask Jordan about his lifelong affinity for Tony Vlachos?
Oh, yeah. This is such a treat. What is your all-time favorite line of Tony B?
I would say my all-time favorite line is when he found the idol in Kagyan and he had the this is huge, I needed this tribe, this is huge, I needed this confessional. I think an underrated line from this season is, what bird is in the nighttime? I just love the way he asked that question.
Okay.
What else? Noise. I don't know. I feel like this is a subject I didn't know what to ask.
Yeah.
If you asked me the question, hey, Jordan, have you ever written a parody song about Tony Vlachos before the wand off was ever a thing? The answer is yes. Aaron Robertson and I did write a song called What Does the Llama Say? Which got many views on YouTube, and we were always very proud of that. So I would say that I have been a pretty early Tony super duper fan.
Okay.
So you're just in heaven. Like, this was everything you could ever wish for in your Survivor like world.
Absolutely.
Jordan, how sad were you during Survivor Game Changers when Tony doesn't make it through the first night?
I mean, I kind of was prepared for it. I did not think it was a great cast or a great tribe for Tony to be on. And I didn't really have the highest of expectations. I was hoping he'd make it past the first night of the show. I do think now, and I've always said that Sandra is the greatest player of all time. And this is going to be a take that's nothing against Sandra. I think that Sandra's an amazing player. She won her first two games, which she's the only person to still ever do that, in Game Changers. I think it was extremely impressive for her to get through a tribe swap, and then she got voted out because of the second tribe swap. And even in this game, I think she made a terrible mistake that got her voted out of the game, but she still made it to day 16 as an enormous threat. But I do think that Tony is the best player of all time. I think that his two wins are two of the most dominant wins that this game has ever seen. And it's just a style of play that I really love watching. And again, no disrespect to Sandra. But I would, what was the question again, Rob?
Jordan, you get going. And then, I think you might've asked yourself a question.
I did ask myself a question at one point.
Yeah.
But my point is that I think that, Tony Vlachos here, being the king of Survivor and Sandra being the queen next to each other on the thrones, is just feels right.
Yes. I believe that I had asked you about, how sad were you when Tony lost on Game Changers?
Oh yeah, that was not where that answer ended up. I was sad, and look. So my point is, here was my point, is that even the greatest player in the history of Survivor can play a bad game, can make a lot of mistakes. And in Game Changers, even though I don't think he had a chance to win, he did make a lot of mistakes. And it just shows in this game that that nobody is flawless. Everybody can do things that get themselves voted out of the game. Sandra proved it on this season. Tony proved it in Game Changers. There's no such thing as a perfect Survivor player.
Yeah.
But I think there is such a thing as a perfect Survivor character. And I think Tony is that.
Okay. All right. Kellen, I was especially excited that you were going to be here with us this week because I wanted to get your take on the conversation that Sarah started at Tribal Council at the Final Six, where Natalie came back from the Edge of Extinction and she said that, well, the whole jury is convinced that Tony is going to win the game. And Sarah started talking about how that she felt like that there was gender bias in the game because that, hey, why aren't people looking at the moves that we made as those being Sarah moves too? Why is Tony getting all the credit? And you've been somebody who has spoke very eloquently on this topic. And I wanted to get your take on all this because I think that Sarah actually has a different spin on this, where I feel like that for the last couple of years, a lot of the conversation around gender bias around Survivor was had to do with why aren't women necessarily what is the production doing that is making the game harder for women? But I feel like that Sarah is actually talking about something different, where that how are women being viewed by the jury and potentially by people who are watching the game as opposed to male players in the game?
Absolutely. First of all, I'm glad to be talking about it. So thank you for asking. I felt like Sarah's approach was really genuine. And like when somebody's going to talk about these things, it's always helpful when somebody comes across as genuine and not like they're talking from a soapbox or something. I felt like she was saying, I've been carrying these demons of people like calling me the B word, you know, saying she was a terrible person, saying she was bossy, all of these like traditional words that are used in the world, even for little girls. Girls are bossy, men are leaders, women are speak too loud, men command attention. And I think for her to really speak out about the way she won her season, and I assume that she got a lot of backlash and called those names that men are called in the Survivor world, like, oh, well, it's not backstabbing if a guy does it, it's gameplay. It's not, lying, it's strategy. And I think women are perceived that way. And something else that really stuck out to me was the way that Jeff responded in saying, I have probably used a lot of words and said a lot of things to contribute to this bias. I thought it was genuine. I appreciated what Sarah was saying, and I don't know that it would have changed any of the jurors' minds, but I think she had a point.
Yeah. I just thought that was very interesting where she's coming from with that, because I think that, you know, we have tended to have this conversation around production, and this mm-hmm. is like somebody who's actually won the game, who actually ended up beating two men in the finals, but she was very concerned with how people are perceiving female players, and I thought that was definitely an interesting part of this conversation that I don't think that had been really explored, or at least not for quite some time.
Yeah, we have always been like, oh, why can't women find idols, or not can't. That's gotten better a little bit. Mm-hmm. The numbers are evening out, right? But those sorts of things. But yeah, just the jury perception of women. And I was thinking back on old seasons, and it seems like it hasn't always been that way. So why is it in the last few years has that gotten stronger? Or maybe just women's games are looked at differently than they were as the game level rises and it's not a social game as much anymore. Michelle's social game, for example, to me I felt like it was eloquent. I felt like mm-hmm. she just sold herself short at Final Tribal. And maybe 10 years ago, that game wins. And yes. What's the difference, right? Is that the gender bias really pulling things out? Is that it's just that the social game isn't seen as
yes.
in as good light anymore?
That's what I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, is that I feel like that the changes that have been made to the game, I think, really minimize the importance of the social game. And I definitely have like gotten some pushback about that. But do you feel like, as a person who is a social player, do you feel like that, if you played Survivor like in the mid-20s, was that more of a sweet spot for the type of game that you might play on Survivor?
I think that, all of us who lost are delusional, so mm-hmm. who knows, but in my own little pretty little mind, I definitely think if I could have played in the first, even in the first 15 seasons, my type of game would have gone so much better than how it went when I played. And it does push you to do those things. And then to kind of tie it back to Sarah's point, when you do those things, when you blatantly tell people what to do, literally Tony was like, you guys, they could have an, I told you to do this. Like, there are clips of me saying to Dom, like, mm-hmm. we want Michael out now. And like, what's the difference between me saying that and Tony saying, why did you guys not listen? This is what I want you to do. And is that truly because Tony is a man and I'm a woman? It's just different. You don't get away with that if you're a woman out there, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does really feel like, especially when we look at like the women that have won the game, where it feels like that to be a woman and the winner of the game, you can do it, but it's a real tightrope that you have to walk, where it seems like that being like super social and then not making too many enemies along the way is the path to do that. And it's also easier in a final two than in a final three. And then also that you have to also hope that you're not up against, one of these other competitors that has won challenges or played enough advantages. And it feels like that there are many different types of male winners, but I feel like that most of the women that have won the game are sort of like they did it with a one specific type of game, maybe with the exception of like a Natalie Anderson, maybe Sophie, perhaps Sarah. But I feel like that, that the path for a woman winner, I feel like, is sort of like you need to just play that perfect social game.
Yeah, like you have to have the social finesse to like tie it all up in a bow perfectly, where mm-hmm. maybe is it completely fair to make it all about gender? I'm not sure. I mean, Dom and Wendell, with our season, it came down to social game. Mm-hmm. Dom is perceived, and I think it's a true statement. Sorry, Wendell. I don't know if you're making it this far. hopefully not. But that on paper, Dom played more rambunctiously
yes.
and outwardly strategic than Wendell. So it's also not it's not fair to say it's women have to be social and men don't have to be social. No,
they have to be social too. Like
I mean, do you feel that when someone like Wendell or someone like Tommy last season, who's a man who plays a social game, do you feel like they're given more credit for it because they're a man? And I think there is maybe evidence in the past couple seasons that has led toward that, where, you know, Tommy was seen as, I think, as the lesser strategic player to Lauren, who of course wasn't in the final two. So that's a hard one to judge. But when it's, you know, Wendell and Dominic, Wendell was given a lot of credit for being such a great social player, which he was. Do you think if he, you know, if a woman plays that same game, do you think they're able to beat a man who's looked at as the strategist?
I don't know. You know, and I am having flashbacks in my mind of like the edit that they showed. Like they showed at one point during Yanuya, like when we went into Three Tribes and Wendell like brought a shell back for Sebastian.
Yes, yes.
Like things like that, we would do that all the time. Like that is not, you know, going and getting things for people or washing clothes for other people or doing like taking care of stuff for other people. That I can't imagine that like being an edit, even if a woman had made it through to the end. Like, so it's those kinds of details that are interesting to think about.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that could be winner edit also in terms of, you know, it's been so long since a woman has won the game. Maybe we forget what that's like to have a woman ultimately get the winner edit.
Yeah.
Not
and
sure.
Isn't that so dangerous? Like as the conversation gets stronger, about like men, like they're just going to keep it's a microcosm of what happens in the world as the feminist power like starts to rise, that men are going to keep yelling louder and louder and be more and more scared. So I think the upcoming seasons, I think women are going to continue to have a really rough time.
You know, I just to go back to Sarah, who was the person who raised this, you know, Sarah's win. I think that where people ultimately, you know, got upset with her was that she did play a social game, but then she was also she had that cutthroat element to it. So I think that people were very conflicted about giving her the win in that season where it's like, yeah, you played the best, but, you know, I'm actually very hurt by, you know, the like it didn't feel like in the same way that in this season where people well, you know, had been burned by Tony, but I'm not sure to what degree. It felt like that overall the jury seemed very happy for Tony with this outcome, as opposed to where even people that voted for Sarah in Game Changers voted for her but didn't really feel great about it.
Yeah. Oh, it's tough. Oh, I don't know. It's how do you like in the Survivor world as a woman or as a man, like try to do anything about it? It's too dangerous to your game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how
do
these
think,
evolve.
Kellen, that Sarah had the right idea by talking about it at tribal councils is the way to sort of like at least like get this conversation out into the open and to, you know, be having it over the course of 39 days? Or is it the type of thing?
No.
Not
for her game. I mean, social, like personally, like I start saying, you know, she seemed genuine and that was her poor lived experience of being treated poorly, I think, because she was a more strategic cutthroat woman. But no, I don't necessarily think it was. I think the way for Survivor play, she should have brought it up was like, hey, nothing about gender at all. And say, hey, if this is true, what's coming from Natalie, that Tony is running the show and I've been listening to him, let me just, if I can have a little bit of time, let me give you two or three examples of how I was taking the lead between the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it was the best time and place to do it as far as Survivor gameplay.
And in terms of the strategy of what she's trying to do, do you feel like that she needs to vote Tony out of the game? Or do you feel like that she could try to make this point by going to the end with Tony and then beating him?
No, she should vote Tony out of the game.
Yeah.
Because I feel agree like with that too.
It's almost final, it's not an argument. I think if she gets rid of Tony, I don't think that Natalie or Michelle would have beaten her.
correct. I don't think so either.
Mm-hmm. I do think there was a path for Sarah not going up against Tony at the end. I think anyone going up against Tony was going to lose no matter who it was. I do think if she wasn't going to get him at either the final six or final seven when he wasn't immune, and I've said on the previous podcast where I think actually everyone else should have probably split the votes on Tony and Sarah at those two tribal councils. But I mean, clearly Ben and Sarah made a mistake to not put the to not put the votes on Denise at the second final six vote. But then I kind of think that the path for Sarah to win the game would have not been to vote Ben out. I think that was a huge mistake, because if you have Ben there, if you're able to win that final immunity and you could put Ben against Tony and Fire, who has experience winning that challenge, Ben knocks out Tony. And then I think there's a pretty good chance that Sarah wins a final four against the a final three against either Ben and Michelle or Ben and Natalie. I guess it would have been probably Natalie because she had the idol. So I do think that if since it seems like there was an anti-edge sentiment among the jury, even though a lot of the jury did come from the edge of extinction, I think if Sarah was able to keep Ben around and he was able to knock Tony out of that fire making, she could have won. It's a very small, you have a very small window of opportunity to do that, though. It's a dangerous game to play because you don't know if you're going to win that final immunity, but I do think that was her path.
Kellen, let me ask you about what you thought about the Wendell edit that we got to see in terms of this season. Did you think that that was jarring for you as somebody who played with Wendell?
No. I mean, it wasn't jarring. Like, and I talked with Mike Bloom a little bit when it was going on. Like, Wendell, like, is spicy, you know? Like, he is not like a... His edit was perfect, just like every other winner's edit. And Wendell is a multifaceted person. And they had to have some villains in this season of all of these heroes. It was an unlucky draw and too good of a story with him and Michelle. Should he have talked to her that way? I haven't talked to him about it. I'm guessing he probably wishes he would have been a little bit softer about the whole thing. It's a bad luck of the draw, and we've all, like, my edit could have been way worse, like, mm-hmm. way worse, and, or way better.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. That's how he behaved. They didn't make him do anything. I don't think it was, quote unquote, unfair, but I do hope that everyone remembers, and it doesn't seem like they did, that they chose probably all of the absolute worst moments of Wendell out there. And he's also a wonderful, kind, loving, giving, social person. So I think it's just a bad luck of the draw.
He was right there in the Edge of Extinction challenge to come back in. I was like, oh, wait, hold on a second. Is Wendell going to get back in the game?
I thought maybe too.
Yeah.
For some reason, it was like seeming like it was either Wendell, Natalie, or Tyson, and mm-hmm. some of the ways like the edge editing was working. So, also, this is so naughty. I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyway. Like, watching all of the winners just like not have things go their way mm-hmm. was so satisfying. It was like eating ice cream out of the tub after already having an entire pizza like every week.
Yeah, wow. Like a reward challenge.
I'll say it. No one else is saying it, but I'll say it. It was a little bit sweet.
Nobody else is saying it on a podcast.
Nobody else is saying it on a podcast?
Yeah.
Well, I'll say it.
It's like
too late now.
Saying it in a text message and like DMs.
Yeah, probably. It was really, it's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, mm-hmm. you had a bad day and the whole world saw it. Like, welcome mm-hmm. to the club.
Yeah. So let me ask you about the format of this finale, Kellen. We ended up with almost 3 hours of finale here. Did you like this format better than going and spending time at the reunion show?
The reunion show has been like total SHIT in mm-hmm. the last few years. So yes, I would rather just see more gameplay. And even like the time they got to spend even though I don't like Edge, but the time they got to spend with having people talk about what Survivor is means in their life, like that was so much more learning about them than anything we would have gotten from questions at a live reunion.
Yeah.
So I was fine with it playing longer. I wish they would do a real reunion show where they're actually interviewing and asking questions. That would be most ideal, but the way they did it last or this week, second choice for sure.
Yeah. You know, Jordan, the reunion show, I think, like, used to be a thing where it's like, hey, you would watch Survivor every single week, and then you would, like, want to tune into the reunion show to see, whoa, what do people look like now? What do they have going on? But with the advent of social media, like, it's not like, oh, I wonder what, you know, Tony looks like off the island or anything like that. Not that Tony's posting a lot of pictures, but you know what I mean? It's like that these people are so accessible, even the people on a new player season, that I wonder, like, other than, like, reading the votes, like, does the live reunion show actually provide any value?
I really think it's much more valuable to have the extra hour of show. I mean, the live right. reading of the vote should always be a thing. That's a tradition, and it has to happen. So, like, there's already spoilers going on with Survivor, but you don't want, like, the winner, you know, getting spoiled for everybody if they read the outcome on the beach. But I mean, especially if you're in this community where you're listening to podcasts every week, I mean, the next day we got to hear from the final six because they did interviews with you. We got to, we're going to get to hear people hopefully on Deep Dive podcast. I feel like everything you'd want to hear in the reunion, you can hear if you want to access it on a podcast. So I think having the extra hour of show is far more valuable, especially when you could get everyone's takes on Twitter. You can, you know, you could see what everyone looks like, as you were saying, on Instagram. I think this was actually, you know, it's the circumstances are terrible, but I think it's something that maybe they should look at going forward.
Because we spend, Kellen, like an hour a week on a vote, or hopefully, you know, most weeks we get close to an hour and not too much time on the Edge of Extinction. But when we get down to the finale, we go from 6 to 5 to 4, and we just, like, yada yada so much. Even in your season in Ghost Island, like, that was like a really, you know, tense final six that probably would have been even better if we would have gotten to see even more of it in the episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would have been nice. I would have loved to see it live, but I was drunk at Ponderosa.
Mm-hmm. you weren't at that tribal. You missed a tribal council?
No. I was there, but I just mean, like, I wish I would have still been in the game.
Yeah.
Because I got voted out the week before. Sorry, bad joke. And then I just sounded sad. I'm doing fine, everybody. I'm doing fine. Mm-hmm. Yes, those things, but in our season, it was kind of boring what happened from maybe the sixth tribal was mm-hmm. fire, but like 5-4-3 was mm-hmm. boring. Like, it kind of seems like in this season, it wasn't really that, mm-hmm. maybe they do it for a reason. Like, maybe there isn't that much.
Yeah. Maybe not every
people
season
aren't changing
it's
exciting. Their mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
Kellen.
Oh, I have a quick question, a Survivor question.
Yes.
Did you guys think that they, like, watching the live votes, that Natalie and Michelle and Tony really didn't know who won?
So I went back. I watched this a second time. And so I think Tony knew he won. Like, he's, like, telling, like, his kids, like, he's acting like a guy who is like, kids, watch this, like, daddy's about to win Survivor. So I think that Tony definitely knew. I think that maybe Natalie was holding out, like, a glimmer of hope. Michelle, like, she's like, I think that she probably knew she didn't win, but maybe thought that there could have been a vote or two in there, because she looked like she started to cry as, like, like the votes were Natalie, Tony, Natalie, Tony. And, you know, her sister is, like, you know, like, you know, hugging her. So I felt really bad for Michelle when I went back and watched it on the second viewing.
Oh, I felt horrible for her. And I was really surprised that I think, you know, it gets spoiled to everybody. Everybody kind of knows what's going to happen. And so, like, watching them genuinely not know what was happening, that they were losing or just not getting votes. Like, that was the one of the most heart-wrenching things of the entire season. Yeah, I just loved Michelle. I think Michelle was resilient, and I don't know her personally, actually, sadly. But I thought she was resilient. I thought she was fighting, truly fighting from behind the whole time, had a great immunity run. I don't know. I was a Michelle fan this season.
Yeah. Michelle was a lot of fun, and she did a great job. And then a couple people could have thrown her a vote.
I was very surprised by the no votes. I mean, I tweeted who I thought the votes were going to, and I had Tony getting 11 out of the 16, but I actually had 3 going to Natalie and 2 going to Michelle. I was kind of shocked that I had Wendell and Parvati maybe voting for Michelle. I didn't know who it would be, but I was surprised that she got no votes, because I do think that while, you know, I think Tony's absolutely the deserving winner of the season, I think that she played a much better game than most people in the history of the show who haven't gotten any votes at Tribal Council. And as someone who's also not anti-Natalie, I'm a really big fan of Natalie Anderson, but I don't like the Edge of Extinction. I think that Michelle did play the second strongest game out of the people in the final three. And it's, again, nothing to take away from, you know, Natalie's ability to get back and, you know, find all the things and get fire tokens on the edge. It's just, to me, Michelle played more Survivor than Natalie did on this season.
Kellen, were you surprised that Jeff came out and took such a strong stance about Survivor coming back for season 41 this fall?
What's going on? I mean, I'm just confused by how mm-hmm. they're going to do it. And
we don't know.
I mean, oh gosh, maybe it's just this sequester season. They're just going to like air that.
Oh, yes. Well, you are part of the Survivor sequester game that's coming up. Are you in any sort of like preparation?
I've got to learn how to play because I've not known anything about it. So I need to read the instructions. I'm just so excited. Like, I'm not, RTP people. Like, I'm playing with Kelly Whitworth. Like, I'm so excited about
yes.
that.
Yes. Have you ever had a encounter with Kelly Whitworth?
I have not.
Yeah.
No. So I'm excited about that. Oh, if she votes me out, I'll still love her anyway. I won't blame her, but she, you know, I don't know if she, yeah, you played it for her, right? She knows that I will like do anything for her, right? I'm hoping she knows this.
I think
she'll
so.
Carry me through.
I believe so.
I think she knows.
You think she listens to Twitch?
I would doubt it. I would doubt it. But it would be, you know, a great honor, I think, for Kellen to play with a fan of hers. That's how her and Lauren O'Connell became besties, Kellen. So I think that there is some precedent.
Maybe I'll like get to be like the nerdy third friend who like gets invited when like their real third friend can't come anymore.
Yes.
And then, I'll be like, well, no, like they probably like already have a third wheel. I'm like the fourth wheel, but I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kellen, just to go back to the Survivor finale, did you have any thoughts about the final five and Ben basically stepping aside for Sarah to get further in the game? You didn't like that.
I love Ben.
Yes.
In human life. Like, I message with him. Like, we talk sometimes. Like, it's been a long time, I guess. That was a misspeak. Mm-hmm. We message back and forth. Social media talk back and forth. And I, like, adore him. Watching his game this season was really, really, really just a bummer. I feel like he was really out there, kind of in a way relating to Sarah. Like, I think he had some demons of how he had won his game, had demons around like the way he's been treated since then and things he's been called because of the way his game was. And it felt like he was out there fighting those instead of keeping his head in the game, like really at all. Mm-hmm. So that was really, I hope that it was as impactful as it seemed like on his personal life and kind of like going through some of the past pain it looked like. But man, his game was just pretty, it was like a Donathan game from our season, like a little bit.
Can you explain
kind of erratic.
Yeah.
a little bit erratic, a little bit like really going like vote to vote, really reacting to what was happening, like his squabbles with Jeremy, and it just seemed like he was just reacting, and just couldn't get things turned around where he could be in control of really anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in terms of what you're talking about with Ben, yeah, I do think that it's interesting that his past experience, I think, really did, you know, shape the desired outcome that he had. I think he would have loved to have won, but I think that he wanted to win a very specific way, where he sort of like wanted to win and prove to people that the way he won was not a fluke, and that he was going to, you know, play a different kind of game, but maybe the game that he was trying to play was not necessarily the best game that suited for him.
Yeah, and it was like Ian in with Tom Westman, like stepping down from the pole, right? It was like a total like I hope that's one of the questions, because I've been thinking about that. Like just to step out of that game, it just doesn't, to me, it never makes sense for anyone to ever quit ever. So yeah, but I hope he's at peace with it. And, you know, there wasn't maybe a way for him to win anyway. And so for him to give that to Sarah, it was really, I cried. I thought it was really sweet.
Yeah.
And genuine. I thought it was genuine.
And it wasn't really shown as much on the show, but you really get it if you watch any of the Ponderosa videos. But also, I think that his relationship with Denise, I think, was not super well explored on the show. And they had an incredible friendship. And I feel like that, you know, we talk about Ben maybe wasn't going to get votes if he got to the end. But it definitely seems like that Denise was going to be a vote for Ben based on, you know, how close they were.
Oh, I haven't watched Ponderosa videos yet. Are they worth the watch?
Yes,
they almost always are. It's my favorite.
Kellen, I'm going to podcast about them soon. I'm going to do an all Ponderosa podcast coming up soon.
You are. That's so cool. So that was one of my favorite things.
So you don't have
being
to.
On Survivor.
Yes.
Oh, no, I will go and watch. It's been on my to-do list. Yeah, Ponderosa, that was like one of my favorite experiences of being on Survivor, getting a Ponderosa video.
Did you see the one with Wendell doing the Chris Noble rap?
Yes. He is doing a little bit. It's like that they don't really like put a spotlight on it, but yeah. He is singing the Ponderosa rap song. So, you know, he said, oh, you know, put the pen down. You know, your raps are trash, but it was an earworm for Wendell when he got to the Ponderosa.
I don't remember who it was, but someone did say it's the greatest character story arc in Survivor history.
Yeah. It must be so weird to, you know, get back to the Ponderosa, I think, for like not only to play Survivor again in Fiji, but for the people that like played in Fiji and then to be back at Ponderosa like for a second time. I thought that must be super surreal. Even more than like being on the same beach again, Callan.
Yeah, well, especially because they only have like one night there after the game. So they just have that whirlwind in and out. The winners do. And then they leave the next day. So to like actually spend more time there is, like a mind warp of going back and say, I don't know, though, playing on the same beaches would also, I think it would bring back memories and that. But yeah. Plus, being at Ponderosa is so fun. I love it. I loved it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That is my not so secret dream, just to be at Ponderosa. Like, if I ever play Survivor again, like, I, you know, especially like to be on the jury and be at Ponderosa. Like, I think the thing I would not like is traveling. I know you're a traveler, but I would not like the experience of like going on the pre-jury trip. If I was the first person on the jury and it was like, okay, Rob, you're going to live at Ponderosa for 3 weeks. I'm like, oh, this is so great.
Yeah. I think
dream.
I would rather just stay at Ponderosa the whole time as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Kellen, and then one other thing before we start to get to the social media. Nick Wilson, did you see him as an evil Donathan vampire?
I don't know. I posted an Instagram story where I was like, hey, you trolls, like, you just complimented both of them, because if you're saying he's an evil Donathan, that means you think that Donathan's an angel. And if you think he's a vampire, vampires are hot. So screw you for saying these things.
So you think that Donathan, that you people should call him a, I guess, a angelic Nick Wilson?
An angelic Nick Wilson. Yes, that seems. Oh, yes. Maybe that could work.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Jordan, anything else you want to say before we talk a little bit about Survivor social media?
I think we're ready to go. I think we've said all we need to say.
Okay. All right. Jordan, how did you celebrate Tony's win?
Well, I was watching with my mom, which is kind of like an OG thing for me. I watched, I think, the first all the seasons up until college with her. So it was good to go home. We got some sushi. In case anyone's worried, I've been social distancing. So is she. I've been sort of going back and forth between my apartment and her house. Neither of us go anywhere, so it's fine. And had the dog with us, and got to eat some sushi and watch Survivor.
Is that the official food to root on, Tony? I feel like that was a weird call for your Survivor finale viewing party.
I mean, there's a good sushi restaurant near where she lives, so that was the call.
What would be the ultimate Tony food? I think you'd want to have like the pizza and like inhale it like through your nose like he did in Kagyan.
I mean, I think, is that really the only like food scene from Tony and Survivor? There's like, you don't really see him eating all that much. I think he's too busy like hiding in trees and doing other crazy things on the show.
Yeah, I don't think he went on a lot of rewards.
No, he's, until this season, he barely won any challenges. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and get into some Survivor social media. And for the final time this season, let's hear from the great Jacob Sager Weinstein.
We sent audio recorders to each of the 20 players, and we asked them to tell us in their own words what Survivor
social media
has meant to them. Take a look.
Without Survivor tweets, I would just be some middle-aged nerd. Now I'm a guy who raps about Survivor. That's not nerdy at all. Tweets.
You know, Kellen, we didn't really talk about that in any of the finale coverage. What did you make of the survivors talking about their own experiences?
I loved it.
You loved it?
I bawled my eyes out.
Yeah.
I loved it. I mean, it's... I don't know. Did everyone else hate it? I just realized
I lost my own thoughts there. I don't think I'm that deep where, you know, if I was like going to ever like talk about my Survivor experience, I don't think I would talk about it in those terms where like I feel like Survivor prepared me for being able to conquer any challenge.
Oh, come on, Rob. You like literally, if you were, think about being there like hungry, we'll say you make it to day 30.
Yeah.
And then like, what does this mean to you? And then you're like, oh yeah, it's like, it's given me my entire life. Like my job is now.
I think I was too young.
It's opened up so many
doors. Sure. That, yeah, I could talk about that, but in terms of like, I don't know necessarily like the actual experience changed me.
I don't know. My Ponderosa video is like me being like, my entire life has changed and it will never be the same.
Yeah.
And like, so I relate to that. Like I'm sitting here in Spain, like crazy as hell, like in the middle of this world thing. And it's because like going on Survivor solidified like a life, an actual life change. So I believe the cheese.
Yeah. I'm just saying that I think there's something wrong with me. I don't think it's necessarily like that I have any issue with the segment. And so like, don't get it twisted. Survivor provided me with a lot of opportunity, but you know, I'm also the same person whose life goal is to never leave the house again. And this is pre-pandemic.
I mean, let's be real here. If we both had like a milli plus in our pockets, we'd probably be crying more about Survivor and how it was so amazing.
Oh yeah,
too.
Like Survivor proves all those the haters from high school that I couldn't do. They said I couldn't do anything or never amount to anything. And look at me now. maybe perhaps.
Good job. That was a good job practice. That was a good practice run.
Yeah, I also think that I played Survivor when I was a younger person, and maybe
how old were you?
I had just turned 24 when I played the first episode. So I wasn't exactly Michael Yerger. I don't think anybody's ever called me exactly Michael Yerger in any regard. But I think that you probably also have more perspective, I think, as you're older.
Yeah, for sure. I was 30 when I played, so I had a little bit more space. But the players this season were all old dogs, new tricks.
Yeah, and a lot of them were the same tricks.
Old dogs, same tricks.
Yeah,
that works for some people.
Yeah. Okay. Let's check in with Team TV at Tony Vlacho 73. Tony tweeted, "We did it. We defied all odds. We won office pools. We crushed it. I do scan through the tweets and I'm overwhelmed by the amount of love and support. Not kidding. Genuinely appreciate all of you believers. And I hope I proved it by the way I played. Survivor 40 winner. Hashtag King TV."
I love it.
Wow. Wow. Jordan, so exciting, because Tony took it so hard when he lost on Game Changers too.
Yeah, I mean it's got to be tough to go from like not only being this like winner of the show who was so popular with the fans and had like a great edit to kind of getting a buffoon edit. And I think Baby Cakes really did a great job of putting him straight and saying you can't start off by doing all this crazy stuff. So I think he I don't know if Tony needed to redeem himself because I think a lot of people's eyes, he's still a great Survivor player. He still does have that win in Cagayan, but he more than redeemed himself. This is the greatest thing that he could have ever, I think, imagined as a Survivor player. And it's something that I never could have imagined that he'd win this game.
Wow. Wow. Jordan, you think that this is how people look at me after Survivor All-Stars?
All Stars is your Game Changers.
Yes. Oh my God.
I mean,
Rob has lost.
Yeah, you
it.
Had you could, yeah, maybe a little buffoonish on Survivor All Stars, but you never started as high as Tony did. So I think that's okay.
True. Okay, so it wasn't as far of a fall.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Then
I mean, since then it has been.
Yes, thank you. Sandra Diaz Twine, that she said, yes, the Queen Slayer is gone. I've waited so long at Mishfitz, at Natalie. I guess she was happy that Denise got voted out. And then she said, all hail King Tony. There's only one true king. Anyone else calling themselves king is a phony. Now, Kellen, that seems like Boston Rob shade more than Tony praise.
Ooh.
What do you think?
Oh,
but she has endorsed Tony as the king of Survivor.
I don't. Is there like Sandra Rob beef other than on social media, other than just that she was pissed he didn't tell her, which is crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a bad job
so
by Rob.
Deep.
That you're saying Sandra was right.
Yes. And like, that he is like that, like sucked into like the Survivor universe to like not even tell her that, like that is crazy. That's crazy to me and just a mistake.
Yeah. Talk to me about this. When you say he's that sucked into the Survivor world, you mean that he's just like towing the party line of not pre-gaming or that,
yeah. Or like, of like, I'm not telling, like, you know, well, we're not supposed to tell people that we're on, so I'm not even going to tell her. Like, do you think that's why?
I don't know. I think that that's convenient. I think that he probably felt like, okay, Sandra, I don't know who she's talking to, so let me control the flow of information, and I'd rather, you know, I'll talk to her, you know, if and when I see her, as opposed to, you know, they never ended up in the game together. And I'll smooth it over because that Sandra, you know, is probably talking about like all these different people that she's close with and everything. And, you know, I think he's probably, you know, getting whatever information that he can from her, if she thinks that he's not going. And then also is like controlling that, like, so people can't, you know, necessarily pregame against him if they don't know he's going to be there.
Yeah, I mean,
not to defend what he, like, I think that it was a miscalculation, but I think that's probably what he's thinking.
Yeah, which is like, I guess maybe answers your question back to you of like, what do you mean by being like so deep in the Survivor like cloud of like that much game planning, that much thinking? And he was just with her for how many, 30, plus days.
Yeah, 36 days or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's wild to me. Maybe this is why I've never won Survivor. Maybe I need to take it more seriously.
Yeah. Jeremy Collins tweeted out, looks like I have to go to work tomorrow. Good thing that Jeremy knows how many work days and weekends are on the calendar. So that's good for his work schedule. What'd you make of that, Kellen, when Jeremy and Tony were going over how many days in the week?
I mean, I loved watching. Well, first of all, I loved watching Jeremy this season. Even he was just like seemingly frustrated at all times, understandably so. But I still love. He's one of my favorites, so I loved watching him in general. But it was also fun to see a winner get like a little, still a little bit of like Dodo music on occasion. It's kind of nice that they did show Tony having a little bit of a human side, and that he still was like, he would get his ball rolling like really fast, but still have to like pump the brakes and slow himself down. So that was one of those moments. I thought it was really, really funny.
Yeah. That's one of the high points of the season, for me, when, Jeremy and Tony were getting into all of that. Jeremy says, congratulations to my friend, Tony Dlacho 73. He is a different breed out there, and Mie Schwitz deserved more, and I should have been more of a loyal friend to her. Hashtag Survivor Finale. Hashtag Winners at War. So, Jordan, is Jeremy, what is he saying he should have done more for Michelle?
I think that his vote, look, I think however a juror votes, I mean, it's their decision. That's the game. I mean, to me, like, he's been friends with Natalie for such a long time that I would have been shocked if he voted for anyone but Natalie. I don't think he could blame himself for doing that at all. I mean, again, I do think that Michelle, again, like, I don't want to say someone deserves votes or doesn't deserve votes because the jurors are the ones who make those decisions. But I do think that, like I said before, that Natalie played the second best game there. And I don't think that Jeremy owed her anything. And I think if Jeremy's voting for who he's friends with, I mean, Natalie is the logical vote because they played together in San Juan del Sur, and they're friends. So I don't know what he's getting at there.
Yeah. Okay.
I hope he's not getting criticized for that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably.
Was it with Steven I was debating about whether or not that he would have voted for Michelle if Natalie wasn't in there?
I think so. Yeah, I think he did say that. I know it also. Yeah. And I do think he would have voted for Michelle.
I think so. He said he's going to vote for Michelle. Okay. All right.
I mean, they played together the whole game.
Yeah. I mean, Kellen, you vote for the person that you had the best relationship with, right?
I mean, I think you vote for the person who proved that they were better than you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Wendell just totally, like at our split tribals, when our tribes got split, I totally screwed everything up. And Wendell like orchestrated that. So in that moment, there was no confusion that Wendell outplayed me. And so I felt like I owed him my vote. Okay. And he had a better social game. So I don't know that it's like who you're... Wait, what was the question? Are you friends?
I feel like that the outside, I feel like the people are always like, well, you vote for the best game. But I feel like that more often than not, people vote for the person that they had the better connection with.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I think people do. I mean, hence why, like, Natalie got all of those votes, even from all of these winners who you would think would be like purists of like, if you get voted out of Survivor, you shouldn't win. How many votes did she get? Five?
Four.
Four.
Four. Okay. Well, that's not, I don't know. But even those four, it's like kind of surprising to me. I don't know. What do you do? But those are relationship votes completely, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, they're the people that she was on the edge with, and then Jeremy. And then I believe that she is the godmother of one of Jeremy's children.
Oh.
Yeah.
She played great, by the way. I mean, she hustled. Like, literally, she played a perfect game if you are a person who gets voted out first and then you get to come back in. Like, she literally did nothing wrong after that, it seems like. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think she did play the best first boot game in Survivor history, and I really don't think there's that much question about that.
OK. Okay.
Yeah.
Is Reem second? I think maybe Reem is second.
Reem did a great job. Spencer, the young lad at S. Bledsoe said, congratulations, Tony, from the bottom of my heart. I'm celebrating with my favorite rock, this white rock from the Survivor Kageon auction. I love it. I love it almost as much as an immunity idol or a 1 million or a subsequent 2 million. For real, though, congrats on winning Survivor. And Spencer also said, so if you survive the edge of extinction, you get an immunity idol, complete control over any narratives about the jury, deep bonds with the entire jury from weeks suffering together. Getting voted out first is the new meta strategy, according to the young lad.
Ding, ding, ding.
That's an old take. I think that anybody that's trying to get voted out first is a lunatic. Right?
Who would get there
and then try to be voted out? But I think that they're not going to do the Edge of Extinction again. I don't believe for a bit. So I don't think we have to worry about this.
Hope you're right.
I hope you're right.
Yeah. And then, Kellen, listen to this. Cass tweeted out, this one time I was on Survivor and President Lucina told me Tony didn't have an idol. And now they're both on Winners at War. And I'm having to mute Spencer because he's on his own Tweetnado. 2020 is effed up.
Oh, Cass. Yeah. Oh, chaos.
Yeah, boy. Survivor Kageon cast is, you know, this is the return of Survivor Kageon. Alexis Maxwell. Also,
how many tweets?
It's crazy to think that Tony made $3 million total from Survivor. Just realized that's like 25 years of work for me. LOL, I need a Sims cheat code for life. Do you ever play The Sims, Kellen?
I have. I actually was playing The Sims in quarantine.
Yes. How was it?
Which is kind of embarrassing. I can't believe I admit that. I really should have just said no.
No, tell me about your Sims world.
Oh, well, it was really hard because I was only playing the free version.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there was like, I literally was playing every single day, multiple times a day, would like sometimes set an alarm to like know when their little work session would be over. And I couldn't even get to the point where they like had a baby.
Oh.
Which isn't, I don't even know the point other than like, mm-hmm. don't you want to expand your family?
Yeah.
Do they still call it woo woo on The Sims when you make a baby?
Well, I didn't mean about that Survivor part. Kageon. I meant like actually. I meant like actually create a baby, like reproduce.
No, I used to play The Sims, and when you and another character tried to make a baby, there'd be a button is like which is like make woo woo.
I don't know. I didn't even have the
woo-woo.
Option.
Let me explain how you make a baby.
Yeah, Tony would be a great health education teacher.
Kellen, were you getting any pressure from your parents? When are your Sims going to have a baby?
Oh, no. I don't think they... I didn't admit to anyone I was playing The Sims until now. And now I'm admitting
it to at least
two
people. We have a lot of Sims players in the
audience.
I think people are going to reach out to you. You're going to really resonate with people.
Well, maybe I should get like the real game because the free mobile version, they were just trying to get you to pay, spend money. And if you didn't buy it, but spend money, I don't think you could solve it or whatever you do.
Yeah.
So my house was all jacked up, like different carpets, like two stoves. Like there was just a lot going on.
But you can't make a baby unless you pay money to The Sims. That's like extortion.
I don't like. I was
extortion.
Playing a
oh
lot.
My god!
That should be illegal.
I thought
that was
that
illegal.
Sounds so fun, and then the game is extortion.
Okay. Well, if there's any RHAP people that want to play Sims with me, let me know.
Yeah.
Hit me up.
Yeah. Okay. So the great Shane Powers. He was watching the finale. He tweeted out first. Man, Tony is a dirtball. Always will be, but hard to hate this season. The dude was the choice of those three. And then followed it up with, Tony should have won. Brutal. Please disseminate at Rob Sisternino. Shane, you got hacked. Somebody hacked your feed. Tony did win.
What? That dude is crazy.
Yeah,
Shane...
Know.
You're watching like a deep fake. Maybe you're watching, the old season. You watch Game Changers. Shane. Tony is the winner. I gotta text him.
Wow. I just don't get it. I think I'm not smart enough maybe to get it.
Yeah, those votes at the end are for the winner. That Tony won. I know that yada yada, the Tony, you won, but maybe he turned it off early.
Yeah, it was. It did happen real quick.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it possible that Shane's right and like we're all mistaken? Like we wanted Tony to win so badly that we just imagined it. I keep thinking that something's gonna happen where like they're gonna, I don't know, they're gonna say that they read the votes wrong, and then we're gonna have to go back and it's another Edge person who won.
Oh,
oh no!
So you're basically saying that Survivor is like an episode of This Week in Survivor History.
That is sort of what happened. Yeah. Was it 2 weeks ago?
T-Bird said, I've never been more proud of my hashtag Survivor Africa vote at Ethan's on. Okay, so she's was pumped up. Ethan was great on the Ponderosa videos also, by the way.
Oh, I can't wait to watch them.
Yeah.
I now have plans for tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, good stuff. And then yeah, we'll have the podcast up soon to as a companion. Okay. And then the state of New Jersey ended up replying to Jordan Woodson's tweet. This is an all New Jersey final three. And the state of New Jersey at NJGov retweeted Big State Energy. Oh my
only,
God.
Only New Jersey.
My
I think that's the one
is
state
recognizing this all Jersey final three. Amazing. Kellen, did your state recognize your accomplishments in Survivor?
My state didn't. My home state was Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
They had me saying I was from Chicago, and then I moved to Denver, like, between getting back from the show and it airing. So I don't know that anyone could really felt like they were my home. But like my local news did from my town I grew up, and then like the big town next to mine, Fort Wayne, Indiana, they like had me on the news and stuff.
Oh,
so
okay.
I had some great representation, but not at the state level.
Not at the state level. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is Winners at War.
Winners at War.
Plus,
yeah.
Well, yeah, Winners at War. Plus the other person that like grew up 20 minutes from me was Lindsay the Quitter.
Okay, so they were burned.
So, yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. Our official Twitter poll account, RHA Pollster, tweeted out some questions. Is Tony the greatest of all time? Kellen, do you want to answer that loaded question?
I would say no.
Okay. No, you don't want to answer, or you know he's not the greatest of all time?
I would say that he is, like, his Game Changers snafu versus Sandra's Winners at War not going well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, like, his worst moments
right.
are worse than Sandra's worst moments.
Right.
So
his game
have to, like,
that his bad game was Derwin-esque. No,
I mean, it was pretty. I want to be careful about that, but yeah, it was pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that Jacob Derwin could come back and play a masterful game from Tony's last time out?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
What a fun thought. Yeah, I do, actually. I think if he just was able to, you know, he's had a lot of time to think about it and,
wow.
like, to watch it back. And
yeah,
Jacob is lovely.
Yeah.
And he is a calm, kind person.
Yeah.
Genuine person. He came to visit me in Denver, actually, which was really fun.
I know, he's a great guy.
Me and I never. Yeah, he's a great. I think it's too bad he wasn't first boot, because he would be a great first. Like, if they did first boot season,
mm-hmm.
he would be great to
wow.
come back.
So this is real, like, galaxy brain thinking, that if you are spectacularly bad, you flame out on Survivor, you are closer to being a all-time great than somebody who's just, like, so-so. Like, it's much harder to make the leap from being like somebody who's like so-so and then come back and then they're like amazing. If you are, if you have what it takes, Jordan, to be like an amazing flame out, you also have what it takes to go the distance to play an amazing game.
I mean, I think, I don't know if that's necessarily true about everybody. I mean, before Tony did flame out on Survivor, he was a Survivor winner. I think that Tony has made more mistakes in his Survivor career than Sandra? Absolutely. In Tony's first win in Cagayan, he made a couple moves that I think were possibly unnecessary, but he was able, he had the social bonds to get people back on board and vote with him. Game changers, he made a lot of mistakes by going way too fast, way too quickly. And in this game, I think he was pretty much flawless. I can't really think of a mistake that Tony made on this season. But I don't think that's true for everybody. I think for Tony, his personality is that he is going to go big. He was able to keep it under wraps this season until he didn't really need to anymore. And he kind of exploded with the Sophie vote. So I don't think that's necessarily true for everybody. I think for Tony, he does have the ability, obviously, to go big and win because he's done it twice now. I also think he has the ability for the same reason to go big and have it blow up in his face. He's not a flawless Survivor player, but I would say, yes, he's the best of all time. And I will say about Jacob Derwin, I did play a one-day game of Survivor where Jacob Derwin and I were on the same tribe for a while. We never went to tribal together because we didn't lose a challenge. And I will say that Jacob was playing a very good game in that season. He was swap screwed really badly and he got voted out, but I think he would have been a contender there and he did make the jury. So
okay. All right. This was a very long way of going about saying that 71% of people polled said that Tony is the greatest of all time.
Recency bias. Yes. Recency bias.
Okay. All right, Kellen.
Sorry, Jordan.
Season 41. We don't know what the format is going to be, but Survivor says they have a lot of ideas that they are potentially working on. Listen.
Bam, we have some fun ideas.
They have some fun ideas. Do you think that one of them could be my idea for Survivor the Old West? Kellen, have you heard my take on that?
No, I'm sorry.
Domestic season of Survivor, some sort of frontier cowboy life theme. Are you in or out?
Tell me more.
We get a ranch. We have plenty of space. No, we are out in where plenty of space for the production. Everybody in the once we're able to film in a state that we are that is open for filming. Everybody's very responsible. We have our contestants, and they are living
Everyone's
on the
tested.
Frontier. Everybody's tested.
Rob, this is utopia.
Quarantine before.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Fine.
This is utopia.
It's utopia with Jeff Probst, and we're voting people out.
Get Kirk Clark. Yeah. No. This. I honestly, Rob, I know I'm making fun of you, but I do think it's a fantastic idea. If they can't go abroad, why not do it in the United States?
What do you think, Kellen?
If you could do it safely, I'll put the caveat on that. Only if you could do it safely.
Only if you can do it safely. And I think the name, instead of the Old West, like, wouldn't the Wild West?
Yeah, Wild West. Yeah, Wild West. You know, I'm just, you know.
Rob's an old school player. He likes everything to be old.
WWW. Yes. Yes.
Okay. It'll be Survivor. Do you think Jeff will talk in like a Southern accent?
He
like,
wear a cowboy
come
hat.
On in, guys.
Yeah, he has like a sheriff badge. Like, there's a new sheriff in town.
Is he bringing Donaldson out there to like be a sidekick?
No, I think they're not speaking.
Really?
I don't know. I don't think they're friends anymore.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think that the audience, when polled, what do you think said giddy up yeehaw, Kellen?
For the Wild West season?
Yeah.
For the Old West season?
Yes.
Giddy up yeehaw. I'll go 53%.
Oh, you're way low. 89%.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I didn't mean to bring it down. I apologize. It's a great idea, Rob.
Yeah. Look, you can't knock this balloon out of the sky. Okay. We also asked people who were you more impressed by than their coming into this season. Tony was the number one answer, 90%. Who was second, do you think, Callan?
Wait, I don't understand the question.
We asked the audience, what people were you more impressed by over the course of the season? Tony
more
was first.
Yes.
Who was the second person that people were more impressed by than they were coming into this season?
I'll say they threw that to Oh gosh.
There was some, so with Tony, there were actually four people that were actually were the audience was way more impressed by, and then everybody else was like under 32%.
I'm trying to think of like the last dude that would have gotten voted. Well, not Ben, not Jeremy. Was it a woman or a man?
It was all women other than Tony.
Oh. Denise.
No.
I would say, you know what? I'm going to say like it's between
Michelle. I feel like fans kind of suck. Oh,
people, 84% were more impressed with Michelle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I love Michelle as much as Jordan loves Tony.
Yes. Okay. That's a high bar, Kellen.
I need to write a song for her.
Yes. Then also Sophie, 81%, and Lacina, 78%. Okay.
Oh, nice.
All right. Jordan, do you have a finale quiz ready to go?
I do.
Okay. All right. Let's get into this with Kellen here today on the This Week in Survivor History quiz.
Twish.
Okay. Jordan, what is Kellen's record for the This Week in Survivor History quiz? Have I lost to Kellen before?
Well, this is Kellen. This is your second time.
This is just my second time.
And I don't remember exactly. Did you beat Rob or did Rob beat you?
Oh no, I definitely lost.
And then we called your brother, but then he didn't answer the phone. Right.
That's right. Yeah, that did happen. That was a failure. Oops.
Okay, that's
so
okay.
Rob. Yes, you were 1-0 against Kellen, and also you have a tremendous record on this season. You've only lost 1 week, the first week. So you're either 11-1 or 12-1. I'm not sure how many weeks. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're going by like Tony metrics or Jeremy metrics. I don't know how many days mm-hmm. we've done this podcast for.
I'd rather go by Jeremy.
So Kellen, you can get your first career win on This Week in Survivor History. You can't become a 2-time winner like Tony Vachos, but maybe next time. If you win this time, you can come back and win next time. So we'll see.
Let's see if I flame out game changer style here.
Yeah. So the four categories that we have for our multiple choice questions are old school Final Four, older school Final Four, coach and teens, and educated. Educated is spelled EDGE-UKated. For these questions, they're all multiple choice. If you decide to go for two, you won't hear the multiple choice options. But if you're wrong and you go for two, your opponent gets to steal a point. And then we'll do a final round where both of you will be able to earn points. So Kellen, we have, which category would you like to choose for your first question?
I want the oldest old school.
So older school Final Four.
Older school Final Four, yeah.
Yes, we're going to Survivor Marquesas. The episode is the finale, the sole survivor from May 19th, 2002, 18 years ago Tuesday. In Survivor Marquesas, a tie at the Final Four resulted in a rock draw between the three players who did not have individual immunity. Which two players received two votes at this Final Four before the rock draw? So the answer is two different players. And if you want to hear the multiple choice, you can, but you'll only gain 1 point on a correct answer.
Well, yeah, I need to hear am I getting these confused? Because I thought at Final Four there was a tie and it went to fire.
So this is the older school Final Four where they went to rocks.
Okay. All right. I need the names.
Okay. Was it A, Kathy and Nalia, B, Kathy and Pascal, C, Visepia and Nalia, D, Visepia and Pascal? And I'll reread the question. A tie at the Final Four resulted in a rock draw between the three players who did not have individual immunity. Which two players received two votes each at this Final Four before the rock draw?
Nalia is one of them, for sure. And give me the other names again. I'm sorry. Hang in there.
So it's Kathy and Nalia, Kathy and Pascal, Visepia and Nalia, Visepia and Pascal.
Oh, Visepia and Nalia.
So Visepia and Nalia, Visepia actually had individual immunity at that tribal council. She didn't even draw a rock. So it was Kathy and Nalia. Yes, Nalia and Pascal voted for Kathy. Kathy and Visepia voted for Nalia. And Pascal, who actually got rocked out there, never had a vote against him that whole season. So Kellen, you start off with the zero, but that is fine. Rob doesn't get to steal a point. Rob, we have old school Final Four, coach and teens, and educated.
Okay. I will go with educated.
Okay, so Rob, educated. This question comes with a clip. So I sent you a clip before we started this podcast. So please play the clip.
Oh boy. Okay. All right.
Fancy.
We got a clip from Jordan Kalish to play. And let's go ahead and go to Jordan's clip. I believe this is very rare in the history of This Week in Survivor history. Okay.
What's up, guys? Reem Daly here.
Oh.
Pay attention. In the Edge of Extinction finale, a combination of six real and fake immunity idols were played at the final six and final five tribal councils, which two players played idols, real or fake, at both of these tribals.
Is that to stop her?
She doesn't say the answer. It's okay. You can let it go.
I personally know the answer. I hope you do too. Thanks for reaching out. This is for Jordan from T Porter 2. Do you know the answer, Jordan? Do you? Those were pretty legit tribals too, man. Thanks for watching Survivor. Enjoy the finale on Wednesday. I can't wait to see what goes down. Take it easy, y'all.
Okay.
So big thank you to Terry Porter, who all season...
She bought a cameo?
She had this idea weeks ago where she's where Terry Porter went into my DMs on Twitter and said, I want to buy you and Rob a Reem cameo, and I want her to ask a Twitch question. So thank you so much to Terry Porter. That was very, very nice of you, and we're so happy to hear from Reem, where it's really fitting that Natalie, who was also a first boot on a Edge of Extinction episode, on an Edge of Extinction season, had such a big episode this week. So
I'm looking for two people that played idols at the final six and final five in the Edge of Extinction, and they could have been real idols or fake idols.
Real or fake. So who stood up to play idols at both of these tribal councils?
So I know one of them for sure, and then the other one... Okay. The person stood up to play an idol... I'm going to say, I believe it, I'm going to guess here. So I'll open the door for Kellen.
Thank goodness.
Going for two.
Okay. Lauren O'Connell and Rick Devins.
Lauren O'Connell and Rick Devins. So at the first tribal council, Rick played an idol for himself and Lauren played one for Chris. At the second tribal council, Lauren played a fake idol that Rick made and Rick played an idol for Gavin. So that is correct, Rob. You get 2 points.
Okay. All right.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That was so nice to hear from Reem also.
What a good surprise.
Very nice surprise. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Reem. Okay. All right. Back to Kellen.
Yes, Kellen, you get either old school Final Four or coaching teams.
I'll go old school Final Four.
Okay, this is going to be Survivor Palau, The Ultimate Shock from May 15th, 2005, 15 years ago Friday. Who defeated Jen at the Palau Final Four fire-making tiebreaker?
Oh, so I was talking about this one the last time. I got them confused. Okay, so it would have been... Oh, gosh darn it, I really want to do this without asking for the multiple choice. is it cheating if I just look up the cast? It totally is cheating. Okay, I'm gonna have to have the names. God darn it.
Okay, was it A, Katie Gallagher, B, Ian, C, Tom, D, trick question? Jen was eliminated by a straight 3-1 vote.
So bad at this game. Why did you invite me back? So Tom, I think it was just a 3-1 vote. Okay, I'm gonna go with that trick question.
So trick question, Jen was eliminated by a straight 3-1 vote. What was your, before hearing the answers, what was your gut telling you? I know you always go based on your gut. What was your gut telling you?
that Tom Beard fire?
Well, that would have been wrong, but you are also wrong that it was not a 3-1 vote. It was Ian, who we spoke about before. Ian Rosenberger.
I would have guessed Tom.
No, it was Ian. Katie and Tom voted for Ian, and then Jen and Ian voted for. Sorry, what was it again? I know the answer is Ian. I think I just said that wrong, but it was Ian who beat Jen at the final four.
Okay.
Tom and Jen voted for Ian. Katie and Ian voted for Jen.
All right.
Oh, well, wah-wah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Kellen, you still have 0 points, but that's okay. You're not out of the woods yet. Or you're not out of it yet. That was a weird
I probably insight. Am, but...
So, Rob, we're going to Token Sheens. The episode is The Martyr Approach from May 14th, 2009, 11 years ago Thursday. Besides Coach himself, who was the only player who did not vote for Coach at the Token Sheens Final Five?
I believe it was JT.
JT is correct. So, Rob, you have another 2 points, and you lead 4-0. And we are going to go to the final round. Unfortunately, based on the rules of the final round, Kellen, unfortunately, cannot mathematically
win. All right. Well, okay. What are you going to do?
Should we do it anyway?
Yeah. Okay. Well, is it about Tony? What is it?
Of course it's about Tony. Okay. Yeah, it's Tony. We've been talking about the boot of each season.
Okay. Well, let's go through it then, but let's, do it a little quicker.
Okay. So, true or false, and I guess both of you could chime in here because it's not for points. True or false, Tony has been on exactly 2 Red Tribes in his Survivor career.
Tony's been on 2 Red Tribes. They were all orange in... and then I think it was a black buff in Survivor Kagyan, but I don't remember in Game Changers what tribe they were on, what color that was. Do you have any thoughts on this, Kellen?
No.
And then, this season he was on the red tribe, to start. So you said he's been on 2?
Exactly 2 in his Survivor career.
What were the Game Changers colors? Weren't they?
I don't even remember. I know that there was a green. I want to say. All right. Let's say yes. Let's say yes. He was on 2.
I'll say correct. No.
Yeah. Oh, no. Okay. It would have been. It was right.
Negative points.
The Dekal tribe, and then I believe it was the Mana tribe in Game Changers. He wore a. He was on red for those 2 episodes.
For a couple of days.
The next question, Tony voted in the majority at each tribal in which he voted during Survivor Kagyan. This is a question that got me into trouble a couple weeks ago because I misread Kim's votes. But I decided to to read this 2 or 3 times just to make sure I was correct. Tony voted in the majority at each tribal in which he voted during Survivor Kagyan.
False, because that... wait, hold on. Let me just talk this through. Let me think for a second. Did he split the vote with anybody? Kellen, you have any thoughts on this?
I'm just in awe of your memory.
Only because I have to podcast about it. It's like, asking somebody about something that happened at work. I can't think of a time where he didn't vote in the majority, but just like Kim Spradlin, there could be a rogue vote split at some point, but I don't think that there was. I will say that I'll say he did.
That is correct. He did. And I double checked this time. I know that he did. He was the only person on Kagyan. And the reason I specified, because I knew I would potentially get some flack for this if I didn't specify, at every tribal in which he voted during Survivor Kagyan, at the final 3, he technically didn't vote because Wu was the only one who cast a vote. So I said everyone in which he voted. So
okay,
yes.
But
people, you never know. People could take issue with that.
Yeah.
Next one, Tony and Ben. This is about this season. Tony and Ben
voted.
You make
it like that the last one that you got wrong was like such a technicality. Like nobody could have possibly nitpicked that. All right, go ahead.
Tony and Ben voted together at every tribal they attended together this season.
Tony and Ben voted at all the tribals. Boy, I don't know, there were some weird votes with like vote splits.
Well,
I feel like back before like quarantine, you didn't let me go on this long if the quiz was already over. You must be really bored, Rob.
Well, I think it's not that. It's not that I'm really bored. It's that, you know, it's about Tony, and Tony just won the season. So I'm trying. This is a celebration of Tony. If these questions were about, you know, Survivor Guatemala, this quiz would have been over 15 minutes ago.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that.
Kellen, right? Do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, did they both vote for the same person the night Ben went home?
Yeah, is that part of the question? Can you be more specific?
Wait, sorry.
It's every tribal that they attended together. Did they vote the same?
Well, but they actually both did vote for Michelle.
Okay.
Tony did not vote for Ben. That's the only one I.
I knew he didn't vote for Ben, but I wasn't sure who.
Just trying to think of it, if there are any other vote splits, like when the tricky one I think is when Jeremy went home. Did Tony voted for Jeremy, but did Ben also?
Probably Ben wanted him out, right?
I know, but they did a vote. They put three votes on Ben and two on Michelle. Let's say yes. Let's say they did.
Unfortunately, the answer is false, and it was not that vote that you were thinking of. It was the Sophie vote where that Ben was not on board for. Yes, it was Tony, Nick, Jeremy, and Michelle who voted for Sophie.
Yep.
And then last question: Tony has found and played four idols in his Survivor career.
Okay, so he played one on LJ, and did he play one at the what did he play this season? Now are we counting the Tyler Perry idol?
Are we?
I don't know.
That is an idol. Tony has found and played four idols in his Survivor career.
No, because he didn't play the Tyler Perry idol because, yeah.
You're right. Okay. It's false. He did not play the Tyler Perry idol.
All right. That's a really, you know how fun it is to when the question is like a technicality, Kellen. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Definitely.
Yes. Okay. Now, all right. Jordan, okay. Enough with this quiz. I want to hear from Kellen about her life these last couple of months. Kellen, do you still have time to talk to us about this?
I do. Yeah, okay. I've got time.
Okay.
Got nowhere to be.
All right. So, Kellen, you left America to go travel the world in the beginning of 2020.
I did.
You were traveling around the world. Where was the first stop?
First stop was I went to an island in Thailand.
Yes.
To a yoga retreat. And I will do this week in Kellen history. Actually, not this week. It doesn't really work that way. But I was actually at this yoga retreat. Well, they arrived on the second week I was there with a survivor that was not on my season. Do either of you know who I went to Thailand at a yoga retreat with?
I think I do.
Not on your season. I would say that it's Vitas Piskauskas.
Isn't he married?
I don't know.
Yeah, we don't. That's actually a good question.
Anyway, I went to Thailand and I had this plan to go, and then I met Ronnie Barta.
Yes. I was going to say same placement as Vitas Piskauskas.
Yeah. Yes.
Second time around. Yeah.
Non-romantic. We are just friends. We met at Run It Up Reno. Not that we talk about that anymore in these parts.
Poker Alliance.
Poker Alliance. New Poker Alliance. So I went to Thailand. It was great. Had 3-week yoga retreat. Did some like intense meditation. Not as intense as Spencer's new, which is amazing to me. I'm going to have to reach out to him. I don't know if he'll talk to me or not, but I might
try. Talk to you. Yeah.
Isn't that the whole thing? Isn't he not allowed to talk? It's like a silent meditation, right?
Well, he did that. I don't think he still is practicing that. I think he's talking to people.
Yeah, like months at a time.
Yes, I think he went through like 3 months of not speaking.
I can't imagine that.
I did four hours of meditation for 4 days. Mm-hmm. And I literally, like, I thought I was going to go crazy. It was a great experience, but I cannot imagine doing that for months.
Okay.
Go, Spencer.
All right. You got done with your meditation retreat. And then how did you get to Spain?
Well, I went to Bali to meet some friends. So that was a plan. And then I was supposed to go back to Vietnam and start traveling through Asia. That was the original plan. But coronavirus was breaking out and I thought, well, I'll just move a little bit west. And I looked up like Google flights to anywhere, like the cheapest ones from Bali. And Spain was one of the places. And I was a minor in Spanish in college. And I just thought I would come here and be like, okay, great. I'll wait out coronavirus here. But all of the lockdowns started happening while I was here. And so I met this dude. Some of you are maybe following. I met this dude on Bumble like 4 days before we went on lockdown in Malaga, Spain. And I don't know. You asked me questions. I don't know what you want to.
Okay.
I was with him for like 30 days and then ended up going to my own apartment, which I booked randomly for a set amount of time. And it happened to be 39 days. So I just spent 39 days completely alone in an apartment in a country that I don't speak the language. Yes.
Well, I think that the part of the story that I saw headlines about that was that you were basically sheltering in place on almost like a first date with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I did that. That was smart. really good idea, excuse me. And it was okay. Like the first 2 weeks were fine. It was really fun. Then like somehow I got interviewed by Thomson Reuters about it and they like completely skewed all of my language. I was like, oh, thank God. Survivor editors, like, thank you. You could have made me seem so much worse. Mm-hmm. They were like, and then it got picked up by like the Post saying I like, had fallen in love or something, which is
which completely Post? The New York
ridiculous.
Post?
Yes. The New York Post, not the Washington Post.
Yes.
Yeah, the New York
Post. There's a lot
Post.
Of posts.
Yeah. Yes.
Post cereal?
No, there are posts. Oh, that sounds kind of like a good treat. Mm-hmm. but it quickly like unraveled. He was just a misogynist, which we all know how well that goes over in Kellen's world.
Okay.
Wait, hold on.
I didn't realize, like, I thought that, like, I just, like, knew this story because, like, I'm your friend and, like, we're on, like, social media together. But, yeah, here is the New York Post, how Survivor star Kel Bechtold found love online amid the coronavirus.
Yeah, they were like, and they kept asking me like, well, is it romantic? Like, are you? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I literally just met this dude. But then, of course, you know me. I was like, well, yeah, but we were dancing and like, it's really nice. And it was going well at first. And I just like went for it, you know?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we were on our second date. And the next morning I wake up and it's kind of like Madrid has started to shut down. I was supposed to go to Madrid.
Now I'm in Madrid, but it's a winding path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, this was almost like, was Bumble like, trying to like, drum up business? Were you sort of like, an ad?
No, Bumble doesn't even still give a crap about it, which is hilarious. They could tell the story because now I'm back in Madrid and I'm hanging out with another dude that I met on Bumble in February.
Okay, so and you've met a second guy? I think that there's so many people that are
so
like, hey,
what
am I doing wrong? You've met two guys during the time of coronavirus?
Okay, well, I met the first one before lockdown. I want to also be clear that I fully believe in quarantining, so much so that I spent 39 days in a house completely alone, only went out once a week to go grocery shopping. But I did that time, and then I had been alone for that long, 39 days. We all know it's a long time.
What was harder,
you know?
Ghost Island or 39 days alone in Spain?
Yeah. What's harder? I think being alone for 39 days was
a
lot harder than Ghost Island. Yeah.
What was the hardest part?
I mean, I am a social person. Like, I'm a social butterfly. But like, literally being
the hardest the internet.
Part would be, you have the internet, but I will tell you, like, the hardest part was like the moment you hang up Zoom or whatever, you close your computer and like, you're still just in an empty room. Mm. Like, there's no one there. I
Sounds
think that
so
would
nice.
Be like the moment. Oh, you could just lock yourself in a closet for like 24 hours or something.
Well, that doesn't sound very fun. Seems like not a lot of air in there.
Well, that's kind of what I was doing, only it was a little bit bigger than a closet.
Yes.
Yeah, that was it was harder. But I'm like a social butterfly. Physically, Survivor is harder, but every other thing, like emotionally, mentally, and stuff, being completely alone. And like even going to the grocery store, I don't speak Spanish, so I don't even get to have like a little conversation.
Right.
Yeah, no chit chat.
And then so you met a new person?
So no, before I was in Madrid for a couple weeks when I first got to Spain. I wanted to go down to Malaga to just because the ocean's there and it was a little bit warmer. So I had hung out and met this other guy on Bumble.
Okay.
Sorry, Mom. And we had gone on like 5 dates. Like we hung out for 5 days in a row back in February, at the end of February. And he was like, you should just stay in Madrid. I was like, no, I need to go. I want to go other places. I'm on this journey, not supposed to be around men or whatever. But he and I ended
Wait,
up
is
like
that coronavirus
talking.
Or that's just that was your journey?
That was my journey. I was like on this like solo female travel adventure. Except First Boot Barda was with me. And then this Bumble dude happened. I don't know. I get myself into these things.
Mm-hmm.
But no, so I had gone on quite a few dates with this other guy. He will remain nameless. But he and I talked like almost every day in quarantine, even when he was like the one who was, I was talking to about like when the Italian asshole, oh, sorry. Am I not allowed? Sorry. When the Italian jerk was asking me to make him a sandwich because he was still hungry after eating the first lunch I made him, like my kind of outlet and person I was talking to, the only other person I know in this country is this guy here in Madrid.
Yeah.
So now like I made the decision to move. I did it safely, kept my distance on the train and moved into an apartment here in Madrid that's really close to his. So that's where I am now.
Okay. All right. And this new guy has not asked for any sandwiches, right?
Not asked for any sandwiches. He is... Oh, the other guy, he told me, he literally said the words... You guys saw what happened when Dom like tried to tell me what to do. Imagine a man told me I needed to behave.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah, this person is, this was a native of Spain?
No, he was Italian.
Oh.
And he had just moved to Malaga. He had just moved to Malaga and had an extra bedroom. And he was trying to find someone to like rent his extra bedroom. And it was going to be hard for him to find somebody to rent out. Obviously, like everyone's going on lockdown. And I was like, well, I need a place to stay. Trump just said I can't come home. And which was a lie. We all know that now.
Yes.
And so I had like committed to paying rent in this place in that amount of time. So it was more of a roommate arrangement than a love story.
Mm-hmm.
But I like sort of wanted it to be a love story. Like, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Do you have any advice for people about dating in this very trying time?
I mean, do you think people want to hear advice from me? I don't know, but sure. I mean, I think do it very responsibly. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's kind of good to like, this new guy, we had to talk, you know, we like spent hours on Zoom, like
on Zoom.
Only talking, getting to know, or actually on Skype. I don't know. Skype. We were using Skype like hours.
I've been called
like,
a boomer really... because I use Zoom. Have you found that to be that like that if you're dating a guy or talking to a guy and he's like, hey, let's jump on Zoom. You're like, this guy sounds like, oh, maybe he's not that cool.
Oh, I don't. Well, it's funny you say that because the guy here wanted to use Skype instead of like WhatsApp or like just calling on Instagram or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, why Skype?
Skype is also sort of
Zoom. I think Skype is pretty old-fashioned, especially compared to Zoom. I never heard of Zoom until like 2 months ago.
See, I thought Zoom was like getting trendy, but I guess not.
I think it's more popular. We use Zoom at work back when I
maybe it feels too much like work of like, oh, this is like my teacher calls me on Zoom. My boss calls me on Zoom. This is not you don't want to hang out with somebody that's on Zoom.
Yeah, it's probably not cool.
Yeah. Okay. Now I know.
There's some solid dating advice in the times of quarantine. Suggest a cool video chat.
Yeah. Okay.
What is a cool video? Like, what's the coolest video chat?
She just told you Instagram or FaceTime. Instagram.
Oh, I didn't even know you could video chat on Instagram. That's how cool I am.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Don't take advice from me. I'm 33 now.
Yeah.
I am not cool anymore.
Okay.
I think, but it's good. Take advantage of like meeting new, it's hard to meet new people, especially for people who are single, like living completely alone. Like, be open to it. You can really get to know somebody before you start spending time with them in person. I think it's okay.
Yeah. All right. Bechtolja is the new Twitter handle. So great.
I still miss KS Bechto every time
You miss it?
Yeah, no. I do.
This is
part of my identity.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
At Bechtolja, I have a question for you. Who is the first survivor that you followed on Twitter? Who would you guess that it is? The first survivor winner.
The first survivor winner from like Winners at War, which one?
From any
survivor winner. Who's the first survivor winner you followed on Twitter?
Tyson?
Nope. Adam Klein.
Oh. There you go.
Oh, yeah. I love Adam Klein. That's a good one.
Kellen, you recently replied to a tweet from the great Brian Scally about casting a 16-year-old on Survivor would be legitimately irresponsible and dangerous. Don't do it. You said, I agree with this so hard. The mental and physical toll of being on Survivor should be reserved for adults who are fully developed. Youth are resilient and amazing, but don't do this to them. My 16-year-old self would not have handled the mental impact well.
Yeah. What are they doing? Is it just because they're like trying to find people who will be 18 when they're ready to film?
No, I think that Jeff has kids that are this age, and I think that he like looks at it like, hey, like, oh, like I learned so much from like talking to my kids, like there's so much that this relationship is so interesting. So I think that that's a little bit probably like, and maybe like his 16-year-old is like super mature and could totally handle it, but I agree. I don't think it's the. I don't think that 16-year-olds on Survivor would be particularly interesting to watch, and I think it's not a great thing for the 16-year-olds.
I mean, what are they thinking? Like, literally, Survivor has gotten in so much hot water. Like, they really haven't thought of like season 39, like a season 39 shit show, like completely out of their minds already. Like, what are they even thinking?
In fairness, 2019 does feel like 10 years ago, Kellen.
That's true. It does. It does. Fair. Like, what are they gonna do though? Like, give them changing rooms? Like,
yeah,
you're like, you should not have children in like their bra and underwear.
Look, I don't think it's definitely like going to happen. I think they might have just said, okay, sure, like, fine, 16-year-olds can apply, but I think that we're still like a ways away from casting 16-year-olds. And I do wonder maybe if they are going to do something that's like a domestic season. I wonder if it could be some sort of like a family idea where it wouldn't necessarily just be a 16-year-old is on your tribe. It may be where, you know, maybe there's like a 16-year-old and a guardian could be playing together.
Like a blood
versus water. Yeah, something like that.
Didn't they try that on The Amazing Race, and it's like one of the worst Amazing Race seasons?
That's right, but I don't know if Jeff is super familiar with the history of The Amazing Race.
But CBS is.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure necessarily anybody that was, an executive at the time of The Amazing Race 7 or whatever the Family Edition was, is like a person that is making these same decisions now.
I think this is a very, very bad idea.
Yeah, and
I
think nobody thinks it's a good idea.
There have been some fun younger players on Survivor. Like, I think Julia Sokolowski is an example of an 18-year-old who did a really good job on her season. But a lot of times when they cast some of these really young players, they don't work out. But at least they're adults. This is not a good idea.
Yeah.
And more so the aftermath, too, of like being on. It's not even just like, okay, fine. Like their bodies are so resilient. Like they'll be fine going and doing all the physical stuff.
Yeah.
Even playing maybe would be okay. But being able to handle being on TV and taking the ridicule of all of that, like I don't know. I'm out. Sounds like we all are on the same page.
Kelly, has Michael Yerger been negatively affected by his Survivor experience?
No, I don't think so.
Probably not.
But I mean, he's like an old soul too.
Yeah. All right. Bechtold, are you going to change back to KS Bechtold
on Twitter? No, I'm not going to. I don't think so. It's still settling in.
Yeah.
But I'm still KS Bechtold on Instagram.
Okay. Don't ever change
it. So I know. I don't want to change it. I don't know. And then somebody like swooped up at Kellen Bechtold, I think. So I can't even just use my real name either. I don't know.
Okay.
Kellen, life is great.
Thank you for spending so much time with us.
Hey, thank you for having me. I thought it was like going to be like the 15-minute quiz thing. So this was such a sweet treat.
Okay. But like a good treat or like because you talked about how the silence is deafening at your place. So, but now now I'm feeling like that maybe you didn't want to spend 2 hours with us.
Wait, maybe you didn't hear me. I said it was such a sweet treat. Mm-hmm. Like I loved hanging out with you guys. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad I got more time to talk about the season. I was kind of like, oh, I'm getting to talk to Rob this season and we're not really going to get to talk about the finale. So I was very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And Jordan, how about you? Are you going to be watching Kellen play Survivor Sequester?
Yes, I'm very excited for Survivor Sequester. I mean, I've had a good time watching, Shannon get unfairly dragged yesterday and watching Amon and Taryn get to play. And obviously, Amon did a great job representing RHAP and winning that season.
Yeah, by the way, Kellen, Jordan Kalish is like the Natalie Anderson of Sequester.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
they voted me out. I came back in. The fans voted me back in.
He was an early boot, and then he came back in and then
I didn't get to the end, though.
Made a deep run.
Good for you. I didn't know that you could come back in the game. I was kind of like, because I'll have to start at 3 a.m. here. So I was kind of like, well, if I'm an early boot, I'll just, go to bed at a decent hour. I guess
they don't always do that.
Yeah. The purists would have been very unsatisfied with a Jordan win.
I, you know what? If I'm watching like someone do the Jordan Kalish run that I did in Sequester, if I'm watching myself on a reality show, I wouldn't be rooting for me to win. So I get that.
Yeah. Okay. All right, there you go. Follow at Jordan Kalish. Thank you guys for following This Week in Survivor all season long. We still got a lot to do. I've told you I'm working on a Ponderosa video podcast that's going to be coming up in the next couple days. News AF, the final wand off, working on some deep dives as well for you. So a lot of great stuff coming up. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Fish can't stop moving, but if DC knows it all, but there's a sound that no one knows. What does the drama say?